It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this, sunny right now, Monday night. About an hour ago, a big downpour came through Tatertown, USA, but now the sun's back out, just making it sticky on this Monday night. But welcome to summertime in South Georgia. And only 10 weeks and 4 days away from the beginning of high school football season. We are glad that it gets closer each and every day. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. Lots to talk about as we get into the summer schedule. Actually, I got some breaking news today, as of just a couple of hours ago, about a late coaching change in South Georgia. We'll tell you about that. Also, one of South Georgia's very own class of 2018 football players has made his college choice, made a commitment today to one of the Power Five conferences. We'll tell you about that coming up, as well as some other recruiting information and some offers that were made over the last week since we, actually the last couple of weeks since we joined you last. We were off last Monday night for the Memorial Day holiday, so we'll catch you up on some of the recruiting offers from around the area. Also, some one young man who said he is getting close to releasing his top 10 favorites, and an interesting conversation that he had with a major college coach yesterday in Tatertown. We'll tell you about that as well. Also, coming up right after the break, I'm going to be joined by Lauren Maxwell. Lauren is the creator, and you see this a lot during football season, and we talk about it on our Friday night show a lot. It's called the Maxwell Ratings. It is a way, a computer formula, to rate high school football teams, not just in the state of Georgia, anywhere, but we're going to talk to Lauren about that. And also, the High School Football Historians website, which is a website that is very popular with high school football fans around Georgia, including myself. A lot of us use it quite liberally as a fantastic tool. And Lauren's going to talk about that. There's been some changes on that site, so we'll talk to Lauren about that. Again, joined tonight by Lauren Maxwell, who is a key part in the creation of the Georgia High School Football Historians websites and also the Maxwell Ratings. Lauren, now you talk about it's been going on for a while now, and there's just a massive amounts of information, not just ball scores, but also, you know, all state players from each team and championship information and just a lot of interesting and cool and neat stuff. Which I steal from liberally. I'm going to confess and raise my hand and let you know that I steal from it like crazy. I do credit you when I do it, but I do use the information because there's so much on there that's valuable and interesting when we have shows like ours that people want to talk about. The redesign, as I looked at it, and for a little while I was down, I got worried a little bit, and then I saw the post on the vent that it was undergoing some changes, and those are now in place. Tell folks what they can see if they get to the site now.
Yeah, they're able to – to go down. This is there's still work to be done. You know, I'm always picking away at it, but for the most part, the format that's on there right now is what it will stay. But there's three main components. The first one is the database, which we've traditionally had, but I've added an encyclopedia component to it, which is based, which the software that runs the encyclopedia is the exact same software that runs Wikipedia. And so anyone nice. Who's familiar with Wikipedia and how to edit that will be familiar with how to add and make updates to our encyclopedia. And then the last portion that I've added is the community portion, which is an effort to try and get folks more involved, make it more of a community-driven website.
I love it. I think it's a great idea because there are people who, you know, may not have, let's say someone who lives in Rome may not have that much information about, you know, teams in South Georgia, but it may have a plethora of resources and information about the teams in North Georgia and vice versa. So collectively to get all these smart people together, I guess is what you're aiming for.
Right. It's just, there's a huge body of knowledge out there, but it's all captured in newspaper microfilm or game programs or in somebody's head who works in a program that's a single A program down, you know, in some rural county, but there's no repository for all of it to come together so that we can all share it and look at it. And so that's part of the hope for the encyclopedia. And I had a major milestone today I've had 4 unsolicited edits done to the encyclopedia by someone who recently signed up. So, you know, everybody who signed up so far, I appreciate it. For those who haven't, just go there, request an account, and, you know, what, as Wikipedia would tell you, be bold and just make an edit, you know. And, and I think typically the first edit is going to be the most difficult because people aren't sure whether they should or shouldn't or can or can't. But the encyclopedia is everyone's. And so I just encourage anybody to go on, and if you see something that needs to be updated, just update it.
Yeah, it's just that simple. And that makes everything better because there are people looking for your information just like you were probably looking for someone else's information. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd like to go back, if I can. You mentioned about kind of the experts in Georgia high school football, and there's certainly a place for them on the website. And it's important, I think, to try and recruit as many of those folks as possible. But there's a lot of room for other people who can contribute in other ways. I mean, if you're somebody who's just familiar with how to use a comma, I would ask you to get on there. If you see a comma out of place, log in and correct it. Or if you're familiar with Wikipedia and how the software works, I have a forum set up for folks to ask questions, you know, how do I bold something or whatever, and just have other folks come in and say, here's how you do that. So I think there's in my mind anyway, there's room for anybody who wants to participate to be able to do it.
Let me ask you, Lauren, because I do a lot of, you know, checking around. I shouldn't say a lot. Most of my research is in teams in the state of Georgia. But occasionally, especially if there's a Florida team or an Alabama team or somebody who maybe a Georgia team is playing or just that I'm interested in, I will try to go out and find that information. And maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but I have not found any sites for any other state that is nearly a fraction as complete and as exhaustive as this is. Are there other sites out there that are anything like this?
Well, there's one that I think is pretty decent. It is the Alabama website. It's ran by a gentleman named David Parker. And I think I think they call there's the Alabama High School Football Historian Society, I believe. Mm-hmm. But if you do, just do a Google search for Alabama high school football history, I think theirs is the first that pops up. There's a little bit of a website that covers Michigan that just has some scores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But to my knowledge, I've not really run across anything quite as extensive as what we have, especially I'm going to go back to that encyclopedia. If we can get the encyclopedia going, I think that'll put us really – leaps and bounds ahead of anybody. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought Texas might have come along with something, but I don't even find anything real comprehensive for them.
Well, and I think that just speaks to the fact that it is such a big deal in Georgia. And I'm not saying that, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people say, well, the best football, you know, is played in Texas or Ohio, or California, Florida, wherever, and that's a debate that you'll never win or lose because it's a subjective thing. But but when I look at the popularity and how people feel about it in the state of Georgia, I do think it is a little bit different. People like you, we've had Todd on the show before to talk about his work on this as well, and a lot of other people, you know, in just about every school, you pick that one person who is kind of the de facto historian for that program, and a lot of them I know have helped out and certainly do follow your site. But in other states, it's not like that. It's, you know, on Friday nights, we do a 6-hour call-in show. And when I tell people that, they say, oh, you do a preview and then to go to a game. I said, no, we just do 6 hours in the studio. And they look at me like I have 2 heads because they can't quite wonder why I do that. And I said, well, it's just different in Georgia. You know, it wouldn't work everywhere else, but it works in Georgia, you know, because there's that much interest in it. So it's a different thing.
Yeah. I think that's helped the website grow, is to have folks. We've got a core group of dedicated researchers, but certainly on the forums, there are a lot of people who will sign in and just one time, and they'll say, you know, this player from this school set this record, and it's not captured on the website. So we'll go out and verify it and add it. But otherwise, we might not have seen that. But if it wasn't for that level of interest, we might not catch a lot of those things.
Yeah, check it out, folks. It's really fascinating. And again, thanks to Lauren and a lot of other people who have made that a possibility. And now even more, not only more informative, but also very easy to navigate, which is key to any good website. And that certainly you'll find that there at the Georgia High School Football Historians Association, and check that website out if you have not done so. And again, if you've looked at it a lot and never made an edit, and I'm in that category, hey, change that. Log in and see what you can help out with. Lauren Maxwell, again, joining us tonight. Lauren, I want to ask you about the Maxwell ratings. Now, this is something else that a lot of people, and we get a kick out of looking at them too. Tell folks a little bit about, again, how you kind of came up with this and you know, how does it all work?
Well, so the story will probably be a little more interesting to folks there in Valdosta. So in the 80s, when I went to high school, my high school was Clark Central, which at the time was probably the premier high school football program in North Georgia, probably through the mid-70s through the end of the 80s, or maybe even a little into the 90s.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and but I myself wasn't really into football going into high school. As a matter of fact, the first game I went to, and I did not even realize the significance of it, was the 1985 state championship with Clark Central and Warner Robins. Mm-hmm. And I had no clue it was even the state championship game. And
You really weren't into football, Lauren.
No, I was not. But, of course, you know, I got excited. You know, we won that game against Warner Robins, and so I did start to kind of pay attention a little bit more. And then the following year, the Atlanta paper at the time used to run all the scores and schedules for every school in the state in the Sunday paper.
Yep.
And so I started to look, and I was kind of a little bit, I guess, naive as to the way the polls work and stuff like that. And I couldn't figure out how Valdosta was ranked number one and Clark Central was ranked number three throughout the season, because I felt like, you know, we had won the state championship the year prior and we had not lost the game yet. And so I started to kind of tinker around with some of the numbers and the scores and schedules to try and, at the time I was trying to demonstrate mathematically that Clark Central was the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And could not ever get it to work on paper. And as it so happened, you probably know, you know, we met Valdosta in the 1986 state championship, and they validated the math that they were a much better team at Clark Central. That's what that team is actually one of the highest rated teams I've ever had in the ratings. Mm-hmm. Going back to 1948. So it's a very good team that Nick Heider put together back then.
Yeah.
One of several he had.
Yes.
But it had kind of this immature system back then. I wasn't very satisfied with it. And just over the years, you know, I worked on it more. I got more educated in school about, you know, math and stuff like that. And eventually, the model that's in use today has it's more or less the same, for the last 10 years. I've made maybe some minor tweaks to it. You know, I might weigh, the preseason ratings a little bit differently 1 year or whatever, but for the most part, it's survived the last 10 years.
Wow. It's a lot of fun to look at, to see, you know, what a computer module will come up with if you put all the information in there. How tough is that just entering? Is it just a matter of entering scores, or is there, I mean, kind of what are the components that make up the ratings?
Yeah, so it takes into account, obviously the opponent, but it does take into account the scores and where the game was played.
Mm-hmm.
It takes into account previous season's ratings early on. You know, those work their way out eventually. And also the date of the game plays a little bit of a factor, because each game counts a little bit more in the ratings than previous games. You know, it weights them a little more as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But the entry is not too bad. I mean, actually, I get all the information from the historian's website. And so there's a couple of us. There's primarily one person that inputs all the scores every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Or every Saturday. And but if he's not able to do it, you know, there's a few others of us who can get in there and log in those scores. But
gotcha.
But for me, pretty much Sunday morning, I just tell it to export the scores and I run the ratings, and
there you go.
It's pretty low maintenance anymore.
Yeah. Let the computer do the work. So
exactly.
Are you ever surprised at what you see when, let's say, the ratings come out? You go, wow, I had no idea that team would be that high or something like that.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't think so anymore. I mean, in the past, perhaps I would dig a little bit more into why a team was rated a certain way. Mm-hmm. But I spend more time looking at the process to get the ratings as opposed to the ratings themselves anymore. And just trying to, you know, and there it's based on sound math. It's a model called a logistics regression model, which is the same model that's used in any number of, you know, when you go to the doctor and he says you're this old and you weigh this much and you smoke or don't smoke or whatever, and this is your chance of having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. He's that math has come from a logistics regression model. So, gotcha. So I mainly focus on making sure the model is proper and less on the ratings.
Yeah. Now, and I should know this because I've looked at them, you know, for a long time. Is there a preseason Maxwell ratings? I mean, because do you use information from the years past, or do you wait till there's a couple of games in, or how does that work?
No, yeah. So I start out each season with a preseason rating that's based on the past ratings of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And each season, as you go back in time, weighs less. So technically, every season since 1948 is included.
Okay.
But realistically, you know, it's the way the weighting works out, it's really only the last five or six seasons that really count.
Because you don't take into account, let's say, you know, they had only three starters back or something like that. I mean, it's not so much, it's not any, I guess, personnel. It's all just history and scores. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. It's,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I don't take into account it's a new coach or the starting quarterback got injured or anything like that.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that would be impossible to do. But it makes it interesting. And a lot of people say, how can a world can a computer predict this and predict that? And it's not really about predictions. I know it's really for entertainment purposes, but as we're talking tonight, Lauren, I got to tell you, I'm being messaged by a Valosta High fan that said, let me tell you something. Those ratings on Valosta last year were absolutely on the mark. So there you go. I guess somebody definitely does pay attention to what you're doing. And, especially with the kind of year that Valosta had last year. So.
Yeah. Well, and I find it all, there's a lot of, provincial bias I found in Georgia.
Really? You're kidding.
Yeah, if you could believe it. So I get a lot of messages how teams were overlooked or how some other team doesn't deserve their rating and everything like that, which is fine. I mean, that's all part of it for
that's
me.
Right.
You know, part is the participation of it. But, yeah, I enjoy doing it, and I mean, if there are fans out there that look at it and enjoy that, I'm happy for that as well.
Well, we really do enjoy it. We use it. It's like anything else. It's a source of conversation, and that's what it's meant to be, mm-hmm. I'm sure, and that's what we use it for, and it's awful. You know, when they come out, we look at it, and you know, whenever we do picks on our Friday night show, we don't necessarily use that because there is a lot more when you're trying to pick games that goes into it, but it is interesting to look and see how the computer reflects or does not reflect what you think is going to happen in the game. So that does, it's like anything else. It's like the historian side. It's like the Maxwell ratings. It's like this radio show or our Friday night show. It's all about talking about a sport, which we care a lot about. And that's good for the whole thing, I believe. So.
Yeah, it's kind of it reminds me a little bit of a quote. I might not remember his name offhand, but there was a writer for the Associated Press. I think his name was Alan Gould. And he developed the Associated Press poll back in 1936. Mm. And they asked him on the 50th anniversary of back in the 1980s, why he did that. And, you know, and of course, I'm sure he had no idea that it would become as influential as it did in college and everything. But essentially, his answer was, it was just something to keep the talk going in between Saturdays. And so it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of interest in the sport, and so again, it's just it adds another dimension to it. So.
Maybe my favorite sports quote of all time had to do with rankings. The former Alabama basketball coach Wimp Sanderson, many people remember Wimp Sanderson years ago, and Alabama mm-hmm. came out in the preseason AP poll as third in the country. And some writer asked Wimp, said, "Coach, what do you think about your team being ranked third in the country?" He said, "Well, I think it's a pretty weak country then." So there you go. So, now you said 89. When you said 89 Clark Central, I got to tell you, as a sports writer covering the Cats, I was at probably the coldest night of any game I've ever covered, the 89 state championship at Clark Central against the great Billy Henderson and the Glads up there against the Valdosta Wildcats, and oh my gosh, was it? I don't know if you were there that night.
Yeah,
goodness gosh, it was cold.
Yeah, I actually was. I had I remember that. I don't remember it being so cold, but one thing I remember is we were ready on the field. Clark Central was already out on the field, and then Valdosta came out afterward, I guess, as the visitors. And I just remember that yellow and black, that stream of players came down, and they circled the entire field with all those players. And then it was almost like they could barely even fit into their half of the field at the time. And the other thing I remember about that game that stood out to me is that Valdosta won the toss and elected to play defense.
Deferred, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, or not deferred, but took defense. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I thought that was an interesting statement about how confident they were in their defense. And I don't remember the score offhand, but they won by about 3 touchdowns, if I remember right.
Wait, Lauren, there's a website you can go to. It'll tell you the score. How about that?
Yeah.
No, it was. Yeah, it was a great night, defensive game. I don't have the score at the top of my head either, but great memories. And again, if you want to relive those memories, that's what makes the Georgia High School Football Story Insight so interesting. You can go back and see those scores and say, oh, I remember that game. I remember this play, and it just kind of helps, because believe me, my memory needs all the help I can get. So again, we're thankful that you have that site, Lauren. You've been a great guest. We really, really appreciate it. We're gonna at some point, maybe ask to have you back, and we can talk about some other things. But we really, really appreciate your time tonight.
No, I'm appreciative of being able to come on and have a little bit of a platform to talk about the website, and hopefully encourage a handful of dedicated folks to get in there and request an account and get to work on the encyclopedia.
And again, if you happen to miss part, Lauren Maxwell is joining us. We will have this interview along with the rest of tonight's show on our podcast at valdostatoday.com. We'll post a link to that podcast on our Facebook page later on tonight at the High School Football Report on Facebook. Lauren, take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Lauren Maxwell. I cannot imagine. It's funny how you get used to things and you can't imagine not having them. I can't imagine not having the Georgia High School Football Historian site, because I go to it so often and there's so much great history on there. So again, check it out if you get a chance. And those Maxwell ratings make the football season a lot of fun. All right, I told you we got breaking news. We got a high school football coach in South Georgia leaving today. We got a high school football player in Georgia making a commitment to a Power 5 conference today. It's a lot of things happening, and we're going to talk about it. As also, we're going to talk about a Georgia high school football legend who was honored, among others, this weekend. Lots coming up right after this as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. On this Monday night, it's the High School Football Report brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. Thanks for joining us on the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. Stop by and see Cass and his great staff over at the North Valdosta Road. Also, in Quitman, if you want a great deal on a car, truck, SUV, Jeep, they've got it coming and going. Go by and see them, and you'll find out the great selection that they have at Cass Birch Automotive. All right, a couple of breaking news stories here. This one catches me by a little bit surprise. You know, you hear a lot of things when you keep up with high school sports and that kind of thing. And I heard a mention about this about 2 months ago, and I thought, yeah, you're out of your mind. But apparently that mention is true. Shelton Felton is the head coach at Crisp County High School. He is a Cordell native, played there at Crisp. He had been an assistant with Rush Probst's staff at Colquitt County before going to Crisp County 2 years ago. And he has been tremendously successful. Crisp County has been one of those places that, for whatever reason, just really has not been able to absolutely put it together. They've always had good athletes. They've had several, big-time recruits and things like that, but have never really been able to put it all together. But until last year, they were an incredible run, went undefeated into the playoffs, about 12-0. They finally got beat in the playoffs. And now, with a lot coming back, and the cupboard is loaded at Crisp County, but Shelton Felton, is apparently, reportedly, leaving the job at Crisp County. to become an assistant coach at Chattanooga, formerly Tennessee Chattanooga. It's still in Tennessee. It's just now called Chattanooga, which is, of course, a college job. So, first of all, congratulations to him and a great college opportunity if that's what he is looking for. Now, he has not commented on this. Bill Pate, who was the athletic director at Christian County High School, a lot of folks down here at in Valdosta remember Bill, is the longtime head coach, baseball coach at Lowndes High School. He's also the head baseball coach at Crisp. And the AD, he is, nobody's made any comment on this as of yet, but reportedly, Felton told his football team this morning that he was leaving. So, odd in a couple of ways. Number one, the timing of it obviously is a little bit crazy because usually you have coaching changes after the season in December or in January or in February or something like that. Occasionally you have a school looking for a coach in March or April if that coach takes one of the aforementioned jobs and that kind of thing. But usually by May, it's all done. Now, here we are June 5th, and we all of a sudden we have a vacancy. So, and again, Chris County is a pretty good program right now. They have, and I don't even have the number of them up, but I know that they have on their roster, and most of them are rising juniors. They got two more years of these guys. Guys like Jamie Robinson, who's already been offered by Alabama and Georgia and other places. The Griffin kid, who's been offered by a lot of places. The Darius G, who's been offered by a lot of SEC schools. They've got a lot of guys, and other guys have been offered by MAC schools and things like that. They've got a lot of guys with a lot of college offers. I would dare say possibly more D1 offers in Cordele than any other city in South Georgia. And most of them are in the class of 19. They're rising juniors. So what I'm saying is the cupboard is not bare in Crisp County, which is going to be good news for some coaches going to take that over. Now, as far as hiring a coach, again, at this point, everybody's kind of locked in. That's a pretty good position. So we'll wait and see how, but you don't have a lot of time to interview. And I mean, you've got to go, which leads me to believe that the possibility. And of course, I've not spoken. This has happened, 2 hours and something ago where Jake Wallace, I'll give Jake credit over at WALB, broke the story and put it up and we retweeted it out on our social media as well. I would have to believe at this point, you almost have to hire from within. Someone who's on staff, instead of trying to get somebody to come in and hire coaches and all this, I looked at their assistant coaches. The only one that I know is Jason Slimp. Jason's the assistant football coach at Crisp. He's the head boys track coach. Jason has coached at Tiff County and at Cook as an assistant. He's an assistant up there. I'm not saying he's going to get it. He's the only one that I know. I don't know any of the other assistants that I see listed. So I don't know what the plan is going to be in Crisp County. But somebody is getting a heck of a football team. They've got talent in Cordele and a lot of it. So so you would ask, well, why would Shelton Felton, a guy who grew up in Cordele and was an alma mater and all this and a great year last year and more coming up, why would he leave? It's one ad. And I've not spoken to Shelton Felton. I can't imagine there's anything bad going on he's trying to get away from. I'm guessing it's money. When you can go and be a big-time assistant at a program like Chattanooga, Southern Conference, that kind of thing, it's usually a money deal. I don't know that for a fact. That's my assumption. I did actually, I say, speak with Coach Felton. We traded messages on social media, and I said I would like to have him on the show sometime this summer to talk about all the collection of great talent they have in Cordele. And he said, yeah, I'd love to. And then now he is, so he won't be on anytime soon. But we'll see how quickly things will happen in Cordele now, but they're looking for a head football coach as Shelton Felton, who's been there 2 years, now leaving to become an assistant at the University of Chattanooga. Or is it Chattanooga University? I think it's University. It used to be UTC. I think now it's just, I guess, UC up in southern Tennessee. Chattanooga, by the way, which is a fantastic town. Used to have good friends there and go there a lot. That's a great place to be. So there you go. All right. Other big news today, a commitment from one of South Georgia's own. This is a pretty big one. Charlie Thomas. We've been telling you about Charlie now for a little while. He's a safety at Thomasville High School. And today, Charlie made it official that he is going to play his college football at Georgia Tech. Charlie is one of the best safeties around. He is. He had a lot of offers from different schools. I know, let's see, Vanderbilt had offered him. Do we have a list of who Charlie Thomas had been looking at going to? I know we've been reporting it, and it's on our Twitter feed and everything like that, but he has gotten some pretty good offers from some colleges around, But decided that, hey, Georgia Tech is really what I liked. He went back up there again and did another visit on Thursday of last week, I believe. He said it fits him athletically, it fits him academically, and he is very comfortable going from being a Thomasville High School Bulldog to a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket. Now, we've had some guys from Thomas County Central go and be Yellow Jackets, and I'm sure we've had some from Thomasville over the years too, just none jumped in my mind. But congratulations to Charlie Thomas. He's a heck of a player. Great athlete. He's been getting a lot of attention, especially here over the last, I would say, a couple of months. But he has made his decision to go to Georgia Tech. And he also said in that decision, when they said, you know, are you going to go on any more visits or anything? He said, no, I'm committed. It's over. Now I'll be signing with Georgia Tech. I like that conviction. He's not bound to it. He can change his mind. People do. It happens. But according to Charlie, the deal's done. Once he's committed, he's sticking to it. And so it sounds like Georgia Tech got them a good one. Now, another young man whose recruitment has been going on and, again, getting a lot of offers is Lions High quarterback Michael Barrett. And Michael said on social media that he is close to naming his top 10 schools. He has, I don't know the number of offers in front of me, 20-some-odd offers from some big-time schools. One of those offers, and we're seeing more and more of this in South Georgia, comes from the University of Michigan. Everybody knows Aubrey Solomon from Lee County, committed, signed with Michigan. He'll be up there this summer at some point, I'm sure. Otis Reese, also a safety from Lee County, has also committed to Michigan. Now, of course, signing day has not happened for his class yet, but he is planning on going there. This weekend, Jim Harbaugh held a camp at Valdosta State University. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story, you may be scratching your head as to why Coach Jim Harbaugh is holding a camp at Valdosta State University. Well, first of all, Jim Harbaugh played quarterback with the Indianapolis Colts, or back then, they might have been, was it Baltimore? I think it was the Indianapolis back then. Playing with, at that time, Kerwin Bell, head coach at Valdosta State University, and they became friends. And because of that relationship, they held one of their camps down here, their satellite camps, as they called it, yesterday. Michael Barrett did not attend the camp, but he and his family did use that opportunity to go and meet with Coach Harbaugh and talk to him. That's exactly why Coach Harbaugh had the camp. I mean, the guy's not stupid. You can not like him, or maybe, or you can love him, but he ain't dumb. And if he can have a camp in a recruit's backyard, well, by gosh, that's good news for him. And Barrett said, you know, they compared me with Jabril Peppers, and they said maybe I could catch the ball coming out of the backfield, maybe play some running back, maybe play some special teams, maybe Wildcat quarterback formation, something like that. They want to use me, all this kind of stuff. That sounds, you know, fantastic. And so, again, very smart move on Jim Harbaugh's part. Remember, he had the camp in Lee County. And listen, Jim Harbaugh is a fascinating figure. Number one, I think he's a very good coach, and he's proven that. That's not just because of his deal at Michigan. I mean, he proved that, I think, at Stanford. I think he proved that he was at San Diego, not San Diego State, but the University of San Diego, which you probably never heard of. He did a great job there as he got into coaching. His dad coached. His brother, of course, coached in the Super Bowl, as did Jim Harbaugh. So Jim Harbaugh, there's no question the guy can coach. But in college, you got to be able to recruit, and he can obviously recruit. He likes going after these South Georgia guys. He has an offer in Otis Reese, who's committed there. He has signed Aubrey Solomon. He has an offer to Michael Barrett, the quarterback at Lowndes High School. Hey, he's working it. Think about it. If he's doing all this in Georgia, think of how much he's doing in Michigan. I mean, think of how much he's doing all these other places. So, now, listen, I'm not saying that Michael Barrett's going to go to Michigan. As a matter of fact, I've invited Michael to come on the show, and I hope that he does. We'd like to hear his take on things. Just from if Lauren Maxwell put his rating system on it, he would say probably not, because Michigan is a long way away from South Georgia. If you want your family to see you play and that kind of thing, it's going to be tougher. That's not saying Michigan's not a great university and program and tradition, and they won more games than any other football team in America, NFL, college or pro, or high school. Michigan's it. They drip with tradition. But it's in Michigan. If you're growing up in South Georgia, that's a long way away. And that's going to be a factor. Michael Barrett has said at some point he's going to release his top 10 programs. And he says, I don't know who's going to be on there yet, but I guarantee you one, and one of them is going to be Michigan. Because, I mean, he hits it off with Harbaugh. I think it would be hard not to hit it off with Jim Harbaugh. So we'll see where that goes. It may not go anywhere. He may not commit there, but they're going to be in the running for him and a lot of other South Georgia players, I believe, is over. Now, we've talked before about how come there are so many offers already. I mean, gosh, and we got some more to tell you about in a minute. But, I mean, when I think of, you know, I mean, Barrett, Jalen Goss, Zacoby McClain over at Valdosta, the guys from Cordell, J.J. Peterson at Colquitt's got him coming out of his ears. These guys over in Waycross, Jalen Strickland and all these guys, I mean, over 20 offers, big-time offers. And you think to yourself, why do they have all these offers? Well, let me tell you one reason why. Number one, they're great players. They don't get offers unless they're a great player. But another reason why, this change in the early signing dates now for football, I think Nick Saban hit this on the head correctly. He doesn't like it, and I'll tell you why. Seemingly, it makes sense. Theoretically, you say, well, if a player has made his decision now, let's go with Charlie Thomas from Thomasville High School. Today, he says, I'm going to go to Georgia Tech. My recruiting process is shut down. I'm not going anywhere else. I'd like to sign with them today. Right now, the National Signing Day is in February, but now they've determined there's going to be another signing day in December. And a lot of players are going to say, well, I'm going to go and sign in December. There's no reason for me to wait. I know where I'm going. Well, let's say if you're Joe Smith and you've got an offer from Florida State and you've got an offer from Alabama and Auburn and Georgia and Georgia Tech and all the big-time programs, and you're kind of weighing it out. Well, then all of a sudden on signing day in December, you see all these guys sign scholarships. Well, if they sign three linebackers in December and you're a linebacker, you may get left out in the cold. There's going to be more pressure on you to sign in December. And you better not wait around. Now, some of the special ones will be able to wait because colleges will hold a scholarship for them. But other guys, you may get a call from the coach at XYZ University that says, hey, man, you better make a decision because we're going to be signing three. And if it's not you, we may go ahead and take care of that. So it's going to change recruiting. And I think the December signing day may become the signing day. Basketball has two, and early and late, but basketball is different. Not to say it's worse or better, but the basketball recruiting process is different because in basketball, Duke University is going to sign maybe, what, three or four guys a year? I mean, you only got 12 or 15, whatever, on the team. You just don't need that many. Football is much different. You're going to sign a lot more, and it's just a different breed. I mean, right or wrong, it's just different. So, and the reason Nick Saban doesn't like it, he says, we're spending all this time in the season trying to win games, we don't have time to host a lot of recruits. But if you have a December signing period, well, those guys have to get their official visits in. And so now they're going to try to come this summer. Michael Barrett said in this article, I'm going to try to go to Michigan here in a couple of weeks. Nick Saban said, from the middle of June to the middle of July is the only time all year my guys get off. They're off. They're with their families. I'm going to come back focused, refreshed, ready to go win a national championship. Now, if we got to host all these recruits, which we're going to have to do, it's going to cut into that time. I can see that. It's a weird situation. But now that they've made it so, and we will have a December signing period, I think that's why these guys who now are getting offers in May and June, maybe in years past, they wouldn't have gotten that offer until September, October. But maybe now colleges feel like, hey, we can't wait. We got to go ahead and move now. Changing the face of the game. We'll give you some more kids who have gotten some offers over the last couple of weeks. When we come back, we'll take another break and be right back with more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive and broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. We'll be back with more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
6:54 on this Monday night, back on the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. Again, listen to our podcast. Now, I'm being told we had some trouble with the first part of our show tonight, recording it, so we got most of Lauren Maxwell's interview. Unfortunately, we missed the very first part of it, but we will have what we have in the rest of the show on our podcast, coming up at VastaToday.com. You can follow us on Facebook at the High School Football Report on Facebook, and also on Twitter at HSF Report. We will have the links to that podcast, and you can go and check it all out there. Some offers, college football offers to some of our South Georgia guys over the last couple of weeks since we joined you last. Tennessee, the Volunteers, have offered the latest offer Tift County linebacker, Andrew Johnson, who played defensive end last year, has now been moved to middle linebacker. He's been offered by Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, Auburn, everybody. I think everybody in the Southeast, big schools, with the exception of Clemson and Florida, have offered Andrew Johnson. So Tennessee, the latest to do that. Also, another Tift County player, Cam Cobb, wide receiver for the Blue Devils, getting an offer, Saturday from Lincoln University. Lowndes High linebacker Will Tolbert getting another offer. This from Western Illinois. Also from Thomasville High School. Of course, we mentioned Charlie Thomas earlier. Linebacker Quentin Jones getting his first offer from also from Western Illinois. Charles McClellan, who is a running back, does a little defensive back as well at Clinch County, getting his latest offer from Auburn University. Now, I would say, is Auburn the biggest? I guess that's the biggest one he's gotten. Washington State, Central Florida, Army, Cincinnati, Troy, Georgia Southern, Navy have also offered the very talented Charles McClellan. So, yeah, I would say Auburn would be the biggest of those. Also, Stephen Krzyzewski, the quarterback at Cochran County, getting his fourth offer. This from the Mercer Bears, had that late last week. Went to a camp at Mercer over the weekend, so congratulations to Stephen. Also, Lee County lineman Griffin McDowell getting an offer from Georgia State over the weekend. And safety, Camden County safety Jeremiah Compton getting another offer. This from Army, from West Point, sends you a letter. That's a pretty big deal. So congratulations to those young men. We tweet them out every time we get them, so follow us on Facebook and Twitter as we get those reports from those recruits who have been offered. We like to share them with everybody else. So there you go. Also want to celebrate some success over the weekend at the Northwest Georgia Trade Center in Dalton. They had the Georgia Athletic Coaches Association inducting five more people for its Hall of Fame, including South Georgia's Ed Pilcher getting the call and being inducted into that Hall of Fame. Of course, Ed Pilcher winning five state championships at Thomas County Central during his time there from 1991 to 2007. They won championships in 92, 93, 94, 96, and 97, 5 out of 6 years. He won 250 games before retiring at Berrien back a few years ago. Let's see, his last football season there, I guess, was it 2000? Let's see, Bill Cribb coached him last year. I think 2015 was his, 14. I think 15 was his last year. I'll double check that. Also, so congratulations to Ed Pilcher. As great a coach as Ed Pilcher is, he's even a better human being. He just is a salt of the earth, solid guy. We've had him on the show before, and just a super, super guy. So congratulations to Ed. Also, Jimmy Dorsey, the longtime coach at McEachern High School, went in this weekend. French Johnson, who was a coach for about 30 years, most of that at Marietta, where he won a state championship there in 1967, was also inducted. Don Richardson. Now, Don Richardson goes back a few days. We're going to basketball now. Don Richardson coached at Southwest Macon. When they had, this is back in the, gosh, I guess 70s or something like that, Southwest Macon was the basketball program in the state of Georgia. I think it was in 1979. Don Richardson's team had Terry Fair, who went on to play Georgia, took him to the Final Four. Also had Norm Nixon, of course, who played for the Lakers back in the day. Jeff Malone was on that team, played for the Bullets. Most people say, kind of like the 71 Valdosta Wildcats, a lot of people say that's the best football team ever. The 79 Southwest Macon team, a lot of basketball people say that's probably the best basketball team the state of Georgia ever saw. Don Richardson was the coach of that. He also was inducted this weekend, as was Manson Hill, who won four state championships as a girls' golf coach at Gainesville High School. So congratulations to all of them. I know a lot of the assistant coaches that Coach Pilcher worked with over the years joined him up in Dalton. I know his family was up there as well, so had to make it extra special, and we sure do join everybody else in saying thank you and congratulations to our great friend Ed Pilcher. That's going to wrap us up for this week. Again, 10 weeks and 4 days away from the beginning of high school football season and the Football Friday Night Show. Bryce Johnson, Megan Barwick, and myself coming up again on starting on August the 18th, I think it is. So getting closer every day. Again, thanks to the great folks at Cass, Birch Automotive, Citizens Community Bank, and Peaceway Counseling and Mediation Services. Hey, tell your friends about us every Monday night from 6 to 7. We're right here talking high school football. We'll take your calls next week as well. HSF Report on Twitter, The High School Football Report on Facebook. Join us there. Listen to the podcast. It'll be up shortly. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Monday.